I was trying to think how to introduce the Cross, but Cross was a quartet that sang together. Do you know when you guys started singing? 96. And it was James Beachy, Tim Beachy, Mary Yoder, and Les Beiler. And Les isn't here this weekend, but they sang together for 5 years. And actually, for those of you that were at our church years ago, they would have sung in our church numbers of times. I don't know how many times, but different times they would have been up for a Sunday morning and sang for us. Have had quite a ministry, actually. And this weekend they were together. They came back together for our 25th anniversary at Life Ministries. That was on Friday evening, and sang there. Actually, Les Beiler is not able to be here, so it's just a trio this weekend. But I'll ask you guys to come up, and they sang on Friday night and are planning to sing this morning, actually in conjunction with Dan's message. They'll be singing a few songs now, and then Dan will be preaching, and then they'll sing again on the other side.
It's been fun to be back together singing for the weekend. We got together Thursday night and ran through some of our songs, excuse me, and then sang at the reunion or the anniversary on Friday night. Now it's been fun to reconnect as a trio, I guess, instead of a quartet. But lots of memories, and we were missing Les, but I think we've managed to make do without him. But our prayer this morning is that the words of the songs that we sang so many times 13 years ago, roughly, could minister to you this morning. They still minister to us, and I believe they'll minister to your hearts this morning.
The winds are blowing strong, the night is dark and long, terror and trouble threatening to cover me. Yet in my darkest hour, when I feel overpowered, there's a truth that gives my spirit victory. My Father loves me, I feel His arms are folded round me, and His tender eyes are shining, and His purpose, though unclear, will soon be known. Oh yes, He loves me, and His Spirit sent to guide me bears a witness deep inside me, brings me comfort and reminds I'm still His own. Sometimes my heart is torn by wounding hardly born, and I wonder, will I see the light of day? And though I long to heal, I fear the doubt I feel, till I claim this truth and know that I can say, my Father loves me. I feel His arms are folded round me, and His tender eyes are shining, and His purpose, though unclear, will soon be known. Oh yes, He loves me, and His Spirit sent to guide me bears a witness deep inside me, brings me comfort and reminds I'm still His own. Now I can clearly see my Father loving me, so I run to Him and snuggle in His arms. His heartbeat I can hear, so constant, strong, and clear, and my heart is safe where nothing can alarm. My Father loves me, I feel His arms are folded round me, and His tender eyes are shining, and His purpose, though unclear, will soon be known. Oh yes, He loves me, and His Spirit sent to guide me bears a witness deep inside me, brings me comfort and reminds I'm still His own. My Father loves me. My stubborn will at last has yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. is the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let in me thy will be done. Sweet will of God, still draw me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever, my wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever, the center of God's will, my home. Sweet will of God, still draw me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee, till I am wholly lost in thee.
This song that we're going to sing next, I actually wrote for Life Ministries, and so that's a little bit of the background there. It was written after I heard testimonies of those who had been so richly helped to find Jesus through the staff at Life. I groped along a precipice that had no seeming end, in dark and fog that crept and chilled my soul within its trend. I thought there was no hope for me, and God seemed far away. Then into my life you came. Oh, what a precious day.
I looked and I saw Jesus shining in your eyes. Through you I found his comfort in answer to my cries. Because of you I now know his blood was shed for me. I looked and I saw Jesus, and Jesus set me free. You looked beyond my actions and saw my deepest need. You looked beyond just what I was and saw what I could be. You said God was beside me, just waiting for my call, that he receives the humble, and he would be my all. I looked and I saw Jesus shining in your eyes. Through you I found his comfort in answer to my cries. Because of you I now
know, His blood was shed for me. I looked and I saw Jesus, and Jesus set me free.
Now Jesus is my Savior, my Shepherd, King, and Guide. I know His precious promise, He is ever by my side. He's given me a nature conforming to His will. And now when others look at me, I pray that they can say,
I looked and I saw Jesus shining in your eyes. Through you I found His comfort in answer to my cries. Because of you I now know, His blood was shed for me. I looked and I saw Jesus, and Jesus set me free.
I looked and I saw Jesus,
and Jesus set me free.
Good morning. It was quite a privilege to be able to minister with two of our sons soon after we moved here to Lancaster. Lester sent us on tour with Cross. I was to speak about Life Ministries, and they sang. And working together with two sons was quite a privilege. There are times when things happen in our life that change our perspective. I can think in how I view things, and it seems to me that it must be the same for everyone else. Certainly how I see it must be how everyone else sees it. And there are times that things happen in our life that change our perspective rather significantly. It was at about 10 after 11 on a Sunday morning that things certainly looked darker. I may or may not be aware of what happened. If this is what I'm used to looking, seeing the world, it looks normal. Whatever normal means. And then sometimes God brings experiences into our lives that changes the perspective again. Certainly the blood of Jesus changes our perspective. But there are times that there's still things that our hearts need to be sanctified further to change our perspective. This morning, I've entitled the message, Lessons from My Hospital Bed. It was on March 1st of this past year. I woke up in the morning and it was time to go to work. I thought it was another day. It was. But I had a stomach up. My stomach felt upset, and I wasn't sure what was up. I told Emma, I don't think I can go to work. Call Norma and tell her I won't be coming. Friday, I still felt like a stomach flu, but by evening, I knew there was something more going on. And I told Emma, I think I have appendicitis. Next morning, went to the doctor. He said, I think you're right. Let's send you to LGH and do some tests and see. A couple hours later, I was in the operating room. And I thought, well, this is no big deal. Be over and I'll be on my way home shortly. When I came out from surgery, the surgeon had discovered that I had not only appendicitis, but a ruptured appendix that had turned gangrenous. My perspective was suddenly shifting. Now, a peritonitis, and a massive infection in intestine, is something people die from today yet. It was almost a certain death in the days before antibiotics. I spent 10 days in LGH, but I was now in the bed, and I was used to being by the bed. I'd spent 30 years in healthcare, and I was used to being by many hospital beds. But to be in the bed gave me a different perspective than being by the bed. The nights were long at the hospital. They made sure they checked on me every, it was continual almost, especially the first couple of nights. There was a debate going on. Drink more fluid. No, don't drink as much fluid. You have too much already. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I remember one night there was a discussion going on. It was soon after I was in the hospital. And I heard them saying, I think his pressure's up to 60 now. Scratched my head. I was with it enough to know that that was not well. I at first thought they're talking of someone else, and then I finally figured out that's me they're talking about. There were a lot of people that came in visiting during that time that I don't remember and probably didn't even find out at the time. But I would like to mention just a few things to take you with me to that hospital bed, and then I'll make some observations as some of the things that I learned in that process. Emma discovered quickly that I wasn't just in for a routine surgery. She began to see things from a different perspective. Things started looking different. She went home to an empty house. It was fascinating for me when I got a little better that I could figure out what was going on to watch the children caring for Mom. The roles had suddenly reversed. Nathan and Ann live in Virginia. That's our oldest son. They came and stayed with Emma for a week. Nathan and Ann took a week off. They are the ones with the miracle baby, for those of you that have heard us talking about Micah. Our daughter Sharon came from Ohio just before I was discharged and stayed with us. Tim and Rachel were very much involved. Tim was at Emma's side during the surgery, was there to hear what the doctor said when he came out. I forgot to mention to you that they left the incision loose because they were expecting to need to go back in. I'm still holding together. It healed, but it just wasn't sutured as tight as it would have normally been because they thought they would probably have to go back in to get all the infection. We as a family got together that Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday morning. I lost track of time and I forgot to check with my family if I'm right on that. But at some point we gathered together in a waiting room. We had our own service there. Tim anointed me. And we just had a time of worship and praise in our own little chapel. James and Carla lived just a few blocks from LGH, and so it was easy for them to come and go easier to, not as far at least. I would see them oftentimes twice a day. I got permission from two young ladies to tell this story. The twins were four at the time, Lee and Brianna, and they wanted to come in the evening. They wanted to put Grandpa to bed. They had a bedtime story to read. They had a song to sing, and they had a prayer to offer. They came and took turns. They had the book, they laid the book beside me, and they flipped the pages, and they read me the bedtime story. Then they sang a duet. And then they each prayed. I discovered that we could have probably sold tickets because there were people outside listening. Thank you, Lee and Brianna, for coming and visiting Grandpa. And there was a mature nurse there who had a heart of gold, but she made sure she didn't waste any energy in smiling, in being overly friendly. She was there to take care of her patient, and nobody better get in the way. The twins came in twice that I know of. It may have been oftener, but it was at least twice. One evening, Miss Strict was on. And after the twins were done singing, she came marching in with a huge smile on her face with a box of snacks. I don't know where she appropriated snacks. You have to work in a hospital to know where to appropriate such things. Just the type of crackers and not what they would have chosen for a snack, but it was a rare treat in the hospital. She was smiling and beaming, and ever after that, I even got more smiles because she was taking care now of the twins' grandpa. It was probably the most discouraging day of my stay of the 10 days. It was about 10:30 in the evening, I don't know exactly. I looked up and saw James, and I said, "What's up? What brings you in?" "Oh, I just decided to come," and okay. Not unusual seeing him there, but it was just unusual at 10:30 at night. After the nurse was done doing what she was doing, James got up and got his guitar, and I didn't even see he had it. And he was there and sang for me for, I would guess it was midnight. Was it midnight? A while. I told Emma the next morning that there was an angel in my room. I couldn't tell you what songs he sang, but it blessed me immensely. James had quite an experience getting into the hospital. In the city, the hospital doors are all locked except the one that you have to get in through in the ER past the guard. Well, if a young man walks up to the guard at that time of the day with a guitar in his hand and says, "I want to go play for my dad," that's not what the guards are used to hearing. He was persistent. He's been around hospitals all his life. He was persistent, and he has a wife for a nurse for a wife. And he was persistent and talked his way in, and they finally called the nursing station and they let him in. I met quite a few Christians. that it was a real blessing. There was one young lady whose name I can't remember, I didn't think I would forget, from Argentina, committed, born-again Christian. So much for the setting. Let me tell you some of the things I learned. Some of them are obvious. Some of them I should have learned long time ago, and some of them were just refreshed, freshly impressed on my mind. I learned to look forward with anticipation to the future. Let me say a little bit about that. When you're two, you can't wait till you're three. When you're four, wow, I'm almost five. Wow, I'm almost 10. Then I'm 12. Then 16 almost never gets there. And then 20. And then 40. And 50. And 70. And now the question is, what is there to look forward to? And here's where there's a marked difference between Christians and non-Christians. What does a non-Christian have to look forward to when he hits 80, 90? Because the next major step, the next major event in life, is for the Christian the culmination. But for the non-Christian, all that there is to do is look back and look forward with horror and dread. How do I stop the clock? I learned that it's a blessing to be able to look forward with anticipation. When I was in the midst of that infection with those most powerful drugs they had to throw at it, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if my body was going to fight it or effectively or not. Number two, we're going to look at about five or six of these, so this will be a short list. Number two, I learned to number my days. In Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. I learned to evaluate my time here. I will be 65 this week, I think. And that means that the time left here, none of us knows how much it is. But it is certainly, as I learn to count, to number my days, it changes my perspective. Number three, I learned that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. My name was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I was in to see Dr. Scott in the last 2 weeks, and we were talking about my March experience. And he said, your body really responded well to fighting that infection. But he had also told me before, do you realize how fortunate you are that you are still here? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Number four. I learned that I need to either face fear or deal with fear. Where did fear come from? Where does fear come from? I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Sin results in fear, dread. But you know, I'm fascinated with Romans 8, 15 to 17. For we have not received a spirit of slavery to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as by sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. Love and fear cannot coexist, because perfect love casteth out fear. If we want to get, if we walk in here and the lights are all turned off, how do we get rid of the darkness in the room? We don't focus on the darkness. Darkness, get out of here. We don't get a shovel and shovel to get rid of the darkness, but when the light enters, darkness is gone. I learned that we have a very caring congregation. Let me illustrate that. It was one night, well, let me show you my little truck first, then I will explain. I have a little truck that this congregation gave me. I'm not sure how the goods decided on this truck. It came with a bouquet of flowers in it, gorgeous bouquet of flowers. Norman Scherzer told me that it's a 46 Ford truck. Now, he can tell you in detail why it's a 46 and not a 47. But when I see this truck, you as a congregation take on new meaning to me because of what those the flowers in that truck represent. The visits, the concerns, the compassion we felt coming from you is worthy to take note. And it is enough. If I would have had a warped opinion of the church, it was enough to change how I view the church. I learned things about people in this church that I didn't know before. Our deacon and deaconess came in to visit. They should be up here on a Sunday morning behind this mic singing. Now, this was in the hospital setting. The acoustics weren't designed for a duet to sing, but they ministered very well. I will remember and cherish that as long as I remember anything. I'm sure to them it was just another day of doing what God had called them to do. I don't remember if there was any day of those 10 days except on the weekend that John and Honora were not in at my bedside. They would come in as only they could, spreading their cheer. And then they were gone. And I would may have been dozing and think, were they here? But I knew it was another day, so they had to have probably been here. The lessons I learned. I can face the future. I need to number my days. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I need to deal with fear, and I've gained a deep appreciation for you as a congregation, as part of the body of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the storm, there is peace.
When the world that I've been living in collapses at my feet, when my life is shattered and torn, though I'm windswept and battered, I can cling to his cross and find peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. Oh, there's an anchor, there's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of my storm. When in 24 short hours, years of living are brought to moments, and when life's final picture is taking form, in the dark room of my suffering, there's a light come shining through, shining through. He gives me peace in the midst of my storm. For there is wonderful peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. Oh, there's an anchor, there's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst, perfect peace in the midst, peace in the midst of my storm. Peace in the I saw a wounded robin lie with broken wing upon the ground. My heart was filled with deep compassion for its need. And I could tell by fearful eye it was not glad it had been found. And by its fluttering showed that it distrusted me. I bent and reached an outstretched hand to lift it away and nurse it back to health again as it had been another day. It struggled wildly in my grasp, but just one moment to be sure, it now lay gasping from the pain it must endure. Dear Lord, I pray, how like this bird, when sore distressed in dreadful hour, when faith has faltered and I cannot see the way, have I drawn back and failed to claim thy tender love and healing power? Dear Lord, I find it hard to live that lonely day. Forgive me, Lord, for all the days when I refuse thy chastening hand. Thy ways are infinitely great, and sometimes hard to understand. Remove my fear and dark distrust, and fill my soul with love divine. My every thought and heart and love shall all be thine. My every thought and heart and love shall all be thine.
This last song speaks to the light and the hope that we have as believers. And as I was thinking of this song, actually, as Dad would put the sunglasses up to his eyes and then take them off. Just by one look at you, you've rearranged my point of view.
Just by one look at you, you've rearranged my point of view. Grateful, ever grateful I will be. Father of living light, creator of all that's right, holding my heart, you turn the key. All that I am, all that I need, all that I ever hope to be, all that I dream, all that I love, all that I hold so dear to me,
is in your hand of loving grace extended to this lowly place I call
my heart on this earth. Not a word I say, not a prayer I pray, ever can repay the debt I hold so dear to my heart. As the days and years go by, I'm still the apple of his eye. Precious, oh, how precious is his love. To think that he could be still calling and changing me. Now in my heart he lives through me. All that I am, all that I need, all that I ever hope to be, all that I dream, all that I love, all that I hold so dear to me,
is in your hand of loving grace extended to this lowly place I call
my heart on this earth. Not a word I say, not a prayer I pray, ever can repay the debt I hold so dear to my heart.
All that I am, all that I need, all that I ever hope to be,
all that I dream, all that I love, all that I hold so dear to me,
is in your hand, your nail-scarred hand, that shows the plan for all the world to see.